This is 16.9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been online now for more than a decade, writing about and filtering the BS in the digital signage industry. Now it's also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. In this episode, I'm having a chat with Leo Coates of the Coates Group, an end-to-end digital signage solutions provider that's heavily focused on the quick service restaurant sector. The Australian company already has a footprint in 35 countries, everything from rollouts to trials. Now Coates has opened up an office and innovation center in Chicago, and it's not a coincidence that Chicago is also the global headquarters of McDonald's. One of the most interesting things about Coates is that he's just 32 years old, having bought the family business from his dad when he was just 24. He's built it up from there and expanded some existing business in Australia with McDonald's, and then moved successfully into some giant markets like Japan and China. In our chat, Leo talks about how the company operates, how data from restaurant systems is critical to what they do, and why he's building up a team of 20 in Chicago to go after the North American market. We spoke in Chicago, just ahead of the company formally opening its offices and showroom. So I'm down here in Chicago. You're having your open house today. I know next to nothing about your company, so let's start at the very beginning. Like, who on earth are you? What's your company about? Why are you in the United States from Australia?
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you coming here today and having a chat with us. And, you know, it's really good to get to spend some time together. I'm Leo Coates. I'm the CEO of the Coates Group. Coates is a business that has been around for over 50 years.
But you're not 50.
I'm not 50. No, I'm certainly not 50. I'm 32. So I'm well off from being the founder. But, you know, we have been around for 50 years supplying solutions and merchandising solutions into QSR and retail business for that period of time. But in 2008, I bought the business. I bought the business off my father. And you know, it was fascinating. We really had a look at the marketplace and where the marketplace was from a digital perspective, and saw that it was falling short in our opinions. And, you know, we really went about saying, why are there all these ability online to have personalized experience, but no one seems to be handling it well from a bricks and mortar in location or in restaurant location well? And so we said, you know what, we want to change that. We want to change the way people digitally merchandise in a bricks and mortar location. And, you know, that's exactly what we set out to achieve. So today the Coates Group, you know, is very much about digital software, and we have our Switchboard content management system that essentially is a data-driven merchandising system or platform. We do digital hardware, and we still do traditional signage and merchandising, although it's a very small proportion of our business these days. And we've had a lot of growth. And really, when I bought the company in 2008, we went about, you know, in order to, you know, reach our vision and grow the company, we really did three things. The first thing that we did is we employed more talent. We had a great team, but we needed to expand that. We brought more talent, people with great ideas and you know, that could help with our strategy and talent that could execute. The second component was, as we looked to set up all over the world. So we went into China and we went into Japan and we went into the Middle East, and off the back of that, we had huge success, you know, supplying over 30 markets globally. And, you know, really the last part was to invest very heavily into digital software and hardware solutions. And that's exactly what we're here to do in the United States, is to grow our business and bring our technology platforms and our people and our setup here to make a dent in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. So to frame it up, what would you describe as what you're typically doing for a client in the markets that you're in right now?
So we provide an end-to-end solution for our clients. And, you know, for example, I'll use the Australian market today. Mm-hmm. You know, my accent's a dead giveaway. So, you know, that is the part of the world where our head office is and that we're from. But what we typically do is we will work through from a design perspective on the hardware front, what solutions they need in their restaurants. We'll work from proof of concept through to design. We manufacture. We manufacture in China and Taiwan. We'll have assembly lines set up here in the US, but we'll take applied pieces of technology, we'll design that in-house to best suit our customers' requirements, we'll manufacture to their needs, and we'll provide that hardware service. From a software perspective, we really take today's technology and we apply it back to our customers. And that's where I think we differentiate a lot, is that we back ourselves to understand what our client needs and to take that leap of faith and to really make a commercial decision that we want to partner with these prospective clients and the clients that we have, and we build solutions tailored to their business and apply technology back to their business and do it well.
So if I was going to frame it up in terms of broad strokes, you're providing a full kind of multi-headed digital signage solution, digital merchandising solution, primarily in the large-scale enterprise level QSR industry primarily.
Absolutely.
And you've got some big clients. I'm not sure you can talk about who they are, but...
No, I can talk to that. Okay. McDonald's is...
Heard of them?
Yeah, you've heard of them. They're this small restaurant chain. Yep. No, we work with McDonald's in 35 markets today globally, and they are a huge part of our focus and a fantastic partner.
So if I walked into a McDonald's in Australia, use that example,
yeah,
what am I going to see that is being driven by Coats Group?
You're going to see in Australia, you're going to see this in Japan, you're going to see this in China, mm-hmm. you're going to see this in a number of markets
like
around the
markets,
world.
These are not little places.
No, they're huge markets. Japan's the second largest McDonald's market in the world. And what you're going to see from Coats is you're going to see, when you get to the restaurant, you're going to see all of their external signage, the golden arches, their directional signage, the static signages manufactured and supplied by Coats. You're going to get in the restaurant and you're going to see the digital menu board. We provide the bracketry and the housing around the screen, and then the content, the software platform that schedules the dynamic merchandising in restaurant, at the front counter, in McCafe, at the community screen, and then of course closing the loop with digital self-order kiosks and digital drive-through as well.
Mm-hmm. So if there's a screen facing a customer in one of these markets, you're doing it?
Absolutely, we're doing it. We're providing the software platform, our switchboard CMS platform, mm-hmm. and you know that really is a dynamic, data-driven system built from the ground up, tailored towards McDonald's needs and requirements, and therefore, you know, the QSR space and retail. But yes, that's exactly right. We'll also provide a lot of the digital hardware solutions as well from a design and manufacture standpoint.
Right. So you've been in all those markets, and now you're having an open house here. That's because you're entering the U.S. market. I assume you've been here for a while, kind of setting down roots. And funnily enough, you're in Chicago, which also happens to be headquarters city of McDonald's.
Yeah, spot on. Look, we have been in the U.S. now for some time. It's gone so quickly, but it's been 4 years. Mm. But the reality is that was with a satellite location out of LA, really just learning and understanding the market and defining ultimately what our strategy should be. And you know, what we've pinpointed is that we need a headquarters here in Chicago. You are right, we do see Chicago as a great place to get talent, but it is close to our key client, McDonald's. And certainly this isn't just about McDonald's. They are a focus and a great partner of ours, but we'll be working with a number of other brands.
It's also in the middle of the country and airport hub, so.
Absolutely, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Chicago makes sense in a lot of ways. And you know what we're looking to do is we've got here our office set up, and we've also got our Coats lab. And the Coats lab and you know is an innovation lab where our customers, creative teams, our partners can come into the environment and see what's possible. Seeing is believing. You know, there's a lot of people in our industry, I believe, that talk a big game and don't necessarily deliver. Come in and understand what is possible and work with us from an integration standpoint, work with us to define their strategy, and work with us to ultimately shape where they go next and then look to apply that into the marketplace. And we're doing a bunch of cool stuff in our lab. We've got our virtual reality VR technology set up. We've got digital drive-through. We've got our CMS content management system and the data-driven nature of it with our analytics tool. We've got our self-order kiosks and so forth. So yeah, it's a really cool environment. We're really excited about it.
So digital menu boards at first blush doesn't look all that complicated. You know, you're putting prices on a screen and some pretty pictures for the product photos and you're done. Your whole proposition, I assume, is because you've mentioned data, is this is actually quite complicated when you get into some kind of a scaled company where there are a lot of locations, a lot of different permutations of what might be on that menu board or on other screens. Can you kind of explain how you guys apply data and what's, you know, maybe not what's your secret sauce, but what are you doing that's going to distinguish yourself and win these kinds of jobs?
Dave, that's a really good question. And the Coates Group, you know, is totally committed to supplying a dynamic and integrated CMS platform that truly delivers on the promise of digital and ultimately brings data to life. Mm-hmm. You know, our CMS really is about taking restaurant level data, external data sets, and allowing that to personalize the experience as well as localize it in restaurant. And I'll give you an example.
Sure.
If you, what we show in our lab and where we're at today is that if you drive through a drive-thru in a digital format in a McDonald's restaurant and you get to the order point, and at the order point we have a personalized message through mobile integration and beacon integration that can give you a message. We're also showing you the right products at the right time. So you know, less is more. We're not trying to show you everything and overcomplicate
this. Is this a pre-sale screen?
At the pre-sale screen, we're doing that. Personalizing around mobile, we're bringing barista making the coffee to the customer, we're bringing social as a platform, and we're doing lots of cool stuff at the pre-sale because of course it's not the critical order point. At the order point, we're showing you the right product at the right time. And then on top of that, and that's based on restaurant level data, and then on top of that, we're confirming the order in the asset itself, in the content, to drive accuracy. And then off the back of confirming the order.
Confirming the order in a way that I'm sitting at behind my steering wheel, I'm gonna see the order.
You're gonna see your order as you're going through the process of ordering with crew at the speaker box. You're gonna see your order being itemized on the digital screen, as well as upsell options that are tailored to you.
Yeah.
Would you like to upsize that to a large? Would you like a dessert with that? And you know, we use restaurant level data, and then we'll use personalized data as well to talk to you about your needs and your wants.
Right.
And ultimately we go through that process, and then we look to drive accuracy off the back of that at the payment and the pickup booth with order confirmation screens. But really, where we see a lot of power in all of this is our analytics tool. It's the tool that ultimately will help us understand, and therefore our customers understand, what's working and what's not. Mm-hmm. It will measure the proof of playback around upsell and compare that to sales and so forth, and give our customers real-time analysis around what's working in that environment. And you know, this whole drive-through experience is, in my opinion, from a digital perspective, going to take off, and we've started that journey.
Right. And the analytics tool is a way for you to get beyond just selling the dream, selling the idea of, you know, you'll have this amazing outdoor drive-through screen and everybody will love it and so on. That's not going to create purchase orders for you. What have you, and I understand that your clients are always loath to talk about what's actually happening, but what can you tell me about performance of this kind of technology that's moving them from doing trials to rollouts?
Yeah, it's a really good question. What we did notice in the drive-through environment is that we did over 20 restaurants as a test case, and we took those particular restaurants, applied the analytics tool.
This is in another market.
This is in another market. Yeah. This is not in the US.
Yeah.
This is in one of our international markets.
Right.
And off the back of the upsell tool and the order confirmation component in the digital menu board, we ran analytics. And without talking to the numbers specifically, what we learned off the back of that is that our client wanted to go into a mass rollout, a national rollout of digital drive-through. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you made an excellent point earlier that you know, people want to actually know what's working and what's not. There's been a lot of promises in our game, a lot of fallen promises, a lot of discussion around return on investment and so forth. But now today, through our analytics tool, we actually have a hard line on that. We're precise about what's working, what the return on investment is, what the sales growth is, what the margin growth is, and so on. And in this particular test case, the one I'm referring to, we're now in a position with this market to roll out digital drive-through across the whole market. We believe it's the first QSR to roll out digital drive-through across a whole market. And, you know, it really does close the loop for digital with them.
Okay. So I'm Wally's Deep Fried Mars Bars, and I've got 1,000 locations across the United States, miraculously. And I'm looking for a QSR solution and for all these various things that you do. Why would I choose you, and what all are you going to do for me so that I don't have to do it myself?
Yeah, look, at what we do at the Coates Group is first of all, with Wally's Mars Bar, is we look to really understand and get aligned on the partnership element. We're not in the business of trying to work with everyone. We really, truly believe in partnership. Digital is quite a labor-intensive, and it's a journey.
Yeah.
And you have to be in a position to partner for the long term, in our opinion. We have an excellent understanding and experience in fast casual or QSR, and off the back of that and understanding this particular client's needs, we'll form a strategy. And really, you know, what we'll look to provide them is our CMS platform. But within that platform, what is their content strategy? What are we trying to achieve? You know, we know that we've got sales KPIs, but outside of that, is it about speed and accuracy, or for them, are they just really looking to drive customer experience and to have a differentiating content strategy? Now, you know, in most cases, Wally's Mars Bar or whoever it may be is going to want to do all of those things, and that's great. But I think that's where we really do differentiate, is our understanding of the market and our long-term approach to partnership. And I can say our content management system, our Switchboard CMS, is really, truly the most dynamic system I've seen from a data perspective. And it's built from the ground up for the industry. Now, again, I know a lot of people say those things, and that's why. They do, and you're spot on about that. And that's why we've built the lab, is for them, for Wally's Mars Bar or whoever it may be, to come in and actually see this. And seeing is believing, as I said before, and experience it for themselves. And not only is it the CMS component, we would also look to provide an end-to-end solution around their digital hardware and what they want to achieve there. And ultimately, you know, understand if they want to go into self-order kiosk, if they want to go into digital drive-through, do they want integration with their mobile app, do they want integration with their POS? And we really see this as a platform approach. We're not in the business of, you know, we'll do your digital menu board and that's set and forget. It's about a platform. It's about, you know, having integration with all customer-facing devices so that you really, truly can deliver on the power of digital.
So For Wally, if I say, look, I don't want to do any of this. I want you guys to worry about it. I want one invoice. Can you take them right from idea stage and, you know, working out the strategy through the platform? Do you do content scheduling, monitoring, all that kind of work as well?
Absolutely. We'll provide an end-to-end solution for Wally right away from concept through to installation and ongoing services as well, of course.
Now, you're an Australian company. Is it difficult? And I realize you're just starting to really get some traction in the US, but is it difficult to get end users, potential customers, to kind of sign on with you based on the skepticism of, yeah, this all sounds awesome, but you're a 14-hour plane ride away. How many people are you going to have here, and, you know, what's my real support level?
Yeah, well, look, you know, that's why we've been in the US market to date, not looking to go to market, but to understand the market and how it actually works. You know, we believe we have groundbreaking solutions in the marketplace, and we back ourselves on that front. But until we crack this market, we can't truly say we're the best at what we do, in our opinion. So what we've really looked to address that is set up a lab in Chicago, put a high performance team in here and build and grow that team all the way from account management through to engineers, through to content developers and the support team, of course, as well as a really comprehensive leadership team. And, you know, it's not just about having the lab and the people. The other thing that we've really noticed is critical is the strategic partnerships and creating an ecosystem in this part of the world, which makes sense to the end customer, makes it easy, and really, again, does deliver an ecosystem that delivers on digital and isn't a piecemeal approach.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now, back to the podcast.
There's a lot of companies, I would say for the last 3 or 4 years, that have chased the QSR business. Some have been more successful than others. Some have won some pretty big contracts. But just generally, there's a lot of competition. So is it challenging to be something of a, an outlier coming from another part of the world to come into the market, and also challenging simply because there's competition and therefore that's putting a lot of pressure on pricing?
Yeah, look, it is challenging. Certainly, you know, this part of the world in terms of the competition, there's no doubt about that. There's so many players. There's a large focus on price, no doubt. But, you know, the reality is the opportunities are significant. And you know, so it's about taking the stuff for us that works from a cultural perspective, from a technology stack perspective, applying it here, but applying it here in a way that's localized and we understand the market. And that's ultimately what we've set out to achieve. And really, that's what tonight's event is about. We're launching our Coates Lab. You know, the launch is around Hello from Tomorrow, which is all about, you know, taking what technology exists out there today and in tomorrow, mm-hmm. and applying that back to our customers so they can see that. And really, you know, not being at the other end of the world and trying to make a dent here, you know, as an international, but truly becoming a US business. And that's what we're setting out to achieve, and we're really confident we're going to be successful in. Now, for us, this isn't an overnight play. This is a long-term journey. We're totally committed to this market, and we're looking forward to the long-term nature of it.
Is it a bit like with advertising agencies that if they have one whale client, like an automaker, let's say they have Ford, that same agency can't therefore have General Motors? Are you going to be up against the same sort of thing here, that if you win a whale account like you have in some other markets, it would be very difficult for you to also service another whale account?
No, I don't think that's the case in our field, mm-hmm. in a digital merchandising and hardware perspective. It's a lot more difficult for agency given the intellectual property around the advertising campaigns. Now, in our field, we don't get involved in the campaign or the marketing calendar. We provide the CMS platform. We provide frameworks to the agency to create the content. And therefore, you know, we can work with multiple players in the same industry. And certainly, you know, we would never go about trying to supply the same look and feel kiosk that we supply to one particular organization to another.
Right.
But we would design around that to make it, you know, to make it unique to that particular brand.
But the way things are set up, you can have enough in the way of virtual walls that there's no real risk of intermingling of content, like something from one system is not going to show up on another one.
Yeah, absolutely. The reality as well is that our switchboard platform is content agnostic. So we can provide the content services, mm-hmm. and there are virtual wall setups and security systems to ensure that there's no mix up of intellectual property. Or, you know, in a lot of instances, our clients are preferring that the agency may not only create the content, but may manage the content, or they may manage the content internally. So Switchboard is fully flexible on that front. We're not in the business of locking down and prescribing the way things need to be done. Content is evolving at such a rapid rate, and it all being web-based these days, is we don't want to be in a position where we say to our customers, you have to do it this way.
Yeah.
We will allow them the flexibility. We can perform that particular role if that's what they would like and it best works for them as an organization. They can perform it themselves, their agency can perform it. We're flexible on that front.
Is QSR the vertical for you, or is it just the one that you're doing now? And like, if a big ass mass merchandiser came along and said, yeah, we've seen what you've done there, we're interested, would you say that's not what we do?
No, QSR has been the focus to date. However, certainly, you know, Switchboard and our digital hardware solutions are not specifically built for QSR alone. The great thing about QSR is, given the demands of their marketing calendars and their size, you normally, you know, from a software platform perspective, it stacks up in their world, which Switchboard does. You can apply that to many different verticals. We're also looking at retail, and we work with other retail brands such as Lindt Chocolate and so forth. In other areas of the world, we work with the banks and movie cinemas. So QSR is without a doubt a focus of ours, but it's wider retail.
Yeah, and I suppose you could get into all kinds of sports and entertainment concessions with a very, very similar product.
Absolutely, and that's the great nature of the product. Again, there may be various components that we want to, you know, build out from a UI perspective specific to that customer or that vertical. Mm-hmm. But again, that's quite straightforward. And I think, you know, the really cool thing that we're doing in our lab, you know, that I'm really excited about, is we're providing a virtual reality experience, a VR experience. So whether it's a QSR or whether it's petroleum, we can build an environment in a virtual world where they can come in, understand what their environment looks like in a 3D perspective, mm-hmm. and can understand how self-order kiosks may look and where in the particular location they can place it. They can go into their world as a customer,
right,
as well as looking at the content from a digital strategy and content perspective. You know, we can look at the way the UI works on the kiosk, or the way the digital menu board content mm-hmm. transitions and so forth in this VR world, which rapidly helps the concept to market timeframe and gives customers a real understanding early of what they can expect through working with us and us applying technology back into their business.
And the proposition there is you're offering something that pretty much nobody else in the signage business is putting in front of people.
We believe we're the first and the only digital signage or digital merchandising provider globally, and specifically here in the United States, that is offering virtual reality as a way of helping our clients understand what it is that we can offer them, and ultimately how we can build a strategy together.
Yeah, and you slapped those things on my head, and I'm a pretty serious skeptic of a lot of VR stuff, but understanding that this is it's client facing, it's not consumer facing, and being able to kind of step into a restaurant and see how everything's kind of blocked and tackled and be able to adjust things, it is pretty compelling, a lot more so than I would have expected.
No, I'm glad you feel that way. You know, we put the virtual reality goggles on yourself, and there is a training and
you didn't take photos, right?
No, we took no photos.
Good.
But no, you know, that there is an upskilling nature of people going, whoa, I'm in this new world now, mm-hmm. and us talking them through how it all comes together. But it was really cool to take you through the process, mm-hmm. you know, and see how you navigated. You went in that world into our garage, and, you know, you put different colors on the kiosk, you opened the door, and then we put you into a restaurant location. You were walking around the restaurant, you were looking at the positioning of
knocking
the kiosk.
Over drinks.
You were knocking over drinks, you were doing all sorts of cool stuff in that world that we can get away with, right?
So going back to elemental levels, you've worked in 35 plus markets in QSR. In that time, what have you seen in terms of digital merchandising and marketing that really works versus stuff that you maybe thought would work, but people don't use, or we really had to adjust it once we put it in front of people and realize that's not how they want to use this thing?
Look, if, you know, to answer your question perfectly honestly, I think, in the QSR world and even in wider retail, digital signage didn't get it right for some time. And you know a lot more about the industry than I do, and I'm not professing for one second to know is have a broader range of experience as you do in this field.
Of course, but you don't.
But what I would say is that for so long, there were so many people out there that didn't know what they wanted to achieve. They didn't understand their own content strategy. They just thought, we'll put a screen on a wall and
it'll be awesome.
It'll be awesome. And they had no concept of actually what they were trying to achieve. That was the first issue. Second issue was that there was, in my opinion, lack of systems that could truly deliver on what people could do online. Online, we have an experience or every day where we're having, and this has been going on for a while, you know, Amazon does it best, but there are a bunch of players, everyone does it, of showing you what you want to see when you want to see it.
Right.
And I believe that, you know, the digital signage field hasn't necessarily translated that into a bricks and mortar location as well or as fast as I may have expected.
Because everything's been predetermined.
Everything's been predetermined. It's been set and forget.
Right.
And, you know, so there's been a mixture of the client or the not really knowing what they want to achieve, and let's just put screens on a wall, and then potentially a lack of, well, you know, system capability out there to do ultimately what you'd want to do. So what I'm seeing done best today is where we're taking restaurant level data to personalize and localize experience. And that's particularly important with big organizations that have need to have rules and logic to determine what goes in their restaurant and why, or what product they're showing to a customer when, or where they have, you know, a huge marketplace with split language and so forth. So, you know, the best user cases today that I'm seeing out there in the QSR field and the work that we're doing in the markets that we're involved in is the data-driven nature. It's taking POS integration, CRM integration, restaurant-level data, and using that to personalize and localize, and then using external data sets, things like the weather and traffic conditions and so forth, because those are the things that truly do change the customer experience and allow consumers to have the same experience that they have online, and you know, they're the best examples that we see in the QSR space. It's the work that we're doing in the international markets, and exactly what we plan on not just working through people within our lab, but bringing to market in you know, and deploying it here in the United States.
Because you've done 35 markets with, I assume, kind of similar products and service delivery, is it culturally different from market to market, and things that worked in one market that you would assume would work here for cultural reasons, for education reasons, whatever it may be, just doesn't?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. The cultural impacts are fascinating. You know, China's so different from Japan, which is so different from Australia, and there's a cultural element to it all, and there's also how developed the market is from a technology standpoint, which also, you know, has a overwhelming bearing ultimately in which product goes in. So yeah, there's no doubt about it, and really getting you know, the United States is, the US is so experienced and is such a mature market. I believe they're ready for all of this stuff, and you know, that's why we're here. I'm not yet seeing the game changing elements that I would like to see in this market, and ultimately that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. And when you say we, how large is the company globally in terms of headcount, and where are you at in the US, and I assume the US will service Canada as well. Where are you at in terms of headcount here, and where are you going to be?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So currently today we have, in terms of headcount, 135 people in the Coats Group from a global standpoint. Now, our team in the US today is 10 people, but we've got right now 4 hires. We'll have a team of 20 here out of our Chicago office by February of next year. So,
and that's all speculative, like you're not doing anything in the US yet, are you?
No, we aren't from a digital standpoint.
Right.
But the four hires, we've got the team of 10 here today. We've got the four hires that are currently we're working through. And, you know, we will reach that team of 20, which is an additional 6 people by February, knowing what we need to build to succeed here. So you could say it's somewhat speculative, but we're not holding back. We're pushing forward with our plans and going to continue to look to grow here in the US. We're also having a lot of international growth. So right. Whilst we've, you know, got the number of people that we do today and the growth in the US, we're hiring at such a rapid rate internationally with our office setups in Sydney and Japan and China and India and so forth. Mm-hmm.
You're a relatively young man at 32 compared to most of the guys and most of the women who are running companies in this sector. Does that become a challenge at all for you in terms of being taken seriously, first of all, and second, just the amount of time you have to put in versus what you can maybe be doing when you're 32 and still have lots of energy for other things?
Well, I love what I do and I live and breathe it. I've got so much energy and I, you know, my work is my passion. So, you know, I believe in a balance of lifestyle, but work is, you know, and what we're doing at Coates is something that I love every single day. And whilst that sounds somewhat corny, it's absolutely true. Internally within my team, you know, within our group at Coates, we all have such a respect for each other and there's such a great culture. And I haven't been doing this whilst I'm really young. I haven't been doing this for a small period of time. You know, I've owned the business since 2008, so I'm 8 years in. And we have such respect for each other in our team. Age is irrelevant to me. Of course, with age, you have experience, which is key, and no one can replace experience. But we have such a great team, and a team full of some with experience that we learn from and some new blood and fresh talent coming in that grows and understands off the back of that experience. So no, I haven't seen age as a barrier. I don't see age as a barrier with our team or with our partners or with our clients. And I believe at the end of the day that if you're the best at what you do and you actually deliver what you say you're going to do, then you will get the respect. The relationships are very complementary to that. And I'm really looking forward to that journey in the US.
And how much time do you spend here?
It's a good question. Right now, I'm spending 30% of my time here in the United States. I'm spending 40% of my time in Australia and 30% in other markets around the world. But the realization is that I will be moving here. So,
okay.
You know, it's next year by end of first quarter, that I'll be living here in the U.S. to run the global business and the U.S. business here from Chicago.
And Coates is based in Sydney?
Coates' head office is in Sydney.
Okay.
with the office and the innovation lab here in Chicago. We've got an innovation lab and office in Japan. We've got our the same setup with an innovation lab and Coates' office in China. We've got our offices in India as well.
So let's look out to start a Q4 2017. Where do you expect things to be at, both for your company and the industry in general?
So the industry in general, I'll start there. Q4 of 2017 is, I think there'll be a huge movement towards self-order kiosks in restaurant. And, you know, the journey of digital menu boards started a long time ago here. I just think we'll have smarter systems with smarter content strategies that will evolve into self-order kiosk. And I really think 2017 will be the year of trialing digital drive-through. And I think towards quarter four, a lot of organizations will be looking for deployment.
Mm-hmm.
It makes absolute sense. And they need to understand that it is a costly exercise. However, if they can prove the return on investment, which is why we're so passionate about our analytics piece and helping them understand exact measurement, once they crack that return on investment piece, it's a no-brainer. And I think that's the way the industry will move. I also see things like virtual reality and not in necessarily our customers' locations for the consumer, but to our customers to help them understand what's possible and what's not, playing a bigger role in all of this as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Our business, I suspect by quarter four of next year, is we'll have an organization that has headcount of 60 to 70 people and we'll be turning over, you know, a substantial amount to the overall group number by the end of next year.
60 to 70 in the US.
Sorry?
60 to 70 in the US.
60 to 70 people in the US by quarter four.
Yeah.
By quarter four of next year.
Yeah, and then you're up around 200 people in the company.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, it'll actually be a little over 200 because we're you know,
expanding
employing all expanding all over the world. So yeah, I'm pumped about the journey. We're super excited to be here and to be investing heavily into the US. Headcount's one thing, turnover's another, but really partnering with the right organizations and having the right partners around that ecosystem to support it, from the agencies to hardware providers to people that we were already working with, such as PAR, alongside, you know, Google, and we're doing work with Samsung and Intel and Seneca and so forth. So I see us being in a really healthy environment, from headcount to our own culture to our, you know, our team, our partners, and our partnerships with our clients or customers.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's been great to have you and to have you here, and really appreciate the time to sit down and talk with you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.